Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew. Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who labor and are burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and humble of heart. You will find rest for yourselves. My yoke is easy and my burden light." The Gospel of the Lord. For about the last week, the Lord has consistently been speaking to us every day about receptivity to Him in our life, how we open ourselves up to what He's trying to accomplish, what He's saying, the help that He's giving. On Sunday, of course, we had the great parable of the sower and the seed, which allowed us to take a soil sample of our soul and whether we're really receiving all of His action on good and fruitful soil that changes our life 30, 60, 100 ways or more, or whether we're stubborn like that hardened soil, superficial like that rocky soil, or distracted by good or bad things rather than focusing on Him. When He sent out His apostles, He was preparing them for the mystery of rejection versus welcoming. Some would welcome, and He was telling us to stay there. Don't be looking for something else, because in welcoming the missionaries, they would be welcoming the one who sent the missionary and the one who sent the one who sent the missionary. And so one of the most important things we need to do is to be able to be welcomed. But likewise, we recognize that in our hospitality toward others, all our Christian spirituality is based. That the Christian is someone who welcomes others as we would welcome the Lord at all times. So after all of that, after castigating Chorazin, Bethsaida, and Capernaum for their lack of welcome to Jesus, despite all His miracles, after His words yesterday about becoming childlike and receiving all that He wants to do, like a babbling little kid needs to receive everything from parents. So He comes to this exclamation point today. And He gives us three verbs to help us to learn how to receive Him well. First verb is come. Come to me, all you who labor and are burdened. This might seem a little contradictory to what He was saying yesterday about becoming truly childlike. While at the same time we're receiving everything as a grace, there has to be cooperation. There's not mere passivity. He wants us to get up from where we are and come to Him. Jesus is constantly doing this, even for those in the greatest weakness. When He was healing the multitudes, He would climb up the mountain and have those bringing those who needed miracles up the mountain. He could have stayed in the valley to make it easier, but He wanted that cooperation. When He heals Bartimaeus in Jericho, blind man, He could have come straight over to Bartimaeus when Bartimaeus was crying out, "Son of David, have mercy on me." But instead he draws close enough, and then He says, "Call him." So that Bartimaeus has to make an act of faith, let go a security blanket, and come to Jesus. So Jesus with us comes close. But then He wants us to take some responsibility, and He says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are burdened." Notice that He's not calling the lazy. He's calling those who work. He's not calling those who have a real desire to have a responsibility-less life. But those who are burdened with physical sufferings, burdened with spiritual sufferings, burdened with emotional sufferings, burdened with history. He's telling us specifically, "I've got a vocation for you. Come to me." First reading today, we see Isaiah's words, kingdom of Judah. They felt burdened. as a woman about to give birth writhes and cries out in her pain, so we were in your presence, O Lord. Oppressed by punishment, we cried out in anguish under your chastising. All of that was meant precisely to be a summons. But all of those were opportunities for them to come back to the Lord in those circumstances. That the Lord summons us to Him precisely through our work and through our pains, not despite them. For us to be childlike, we grasp that. Second verb. Learn, take my yoke upon you. Take my yoke. Notice that He doesn't say, bend down and let me put my yoke upon you. He wants us to seize it, wants us to want it, wants to go out and get it. Now, Jesus, as a carpenter, would have regularly made yokes in Joseph's carpenter shop. Yokes harness, for example, two oxen, so that they're able to work together and strengthen each other in that work. Jesus' yoke, by which He wants our entire existence to be lived in tandem with Him, is the patibulum, the horizontal bar of the cross. Just like Simon of Cyrene took that yoke upon Him, so Jesus wants us to do the same. And when we do, that's when, remarkably, He does something. He makes that yoke easy fitting, is the term. My yoke is easy, it means tailor-made, like a shoe that fits perfectly without your even having to break it in. For my yoke is fit for you, and it's light. Because no matter what burdens we're carrying them in tandem with Him and His love, which can make even a crucifixion light and sweet because of the love for those for whom one is doing it. But there's something deeper. To yoke ourselves with Jesus, as we see very clearly in the Latin, but it's also in the Greek, the word for yoke is yugum with a J. To be yoked with someone is con yugum. This is a spousal invitation for us to be conjugal, for us to recognize that the Lord is loving us in tandem and calling us to love Him similarly. This is, in a sense, a marriage bed. It's a place where the consummation of that bilateral love is lived. So when Jesus is saying, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, we respond by saying, I take you to be my spouse in good times and in bad, in sickness and in health, in poverty and prosperity all my days. Second verb. Third verb is translated as learn from me. But if you go to the Greek, there's no preposition. It's learn me, for meek and humble of heart. After we've come to Jesus, after we've united ourselves to Jesus, that's when we are able truly to get to know Him at the depth with which He wishes to be known, the depth with which He wishes to reveal Himself to us. We learn Him. And He could have specified any of His virtues, but He chose two for a reason. Because what He wants to learn, what He wants us to learn from Him first are these two. For I am meek and humble. Meek doesn't mean weak. In fact, it's the exact opposite. Meek is a strength that doesn't have to show its force. The easiest example today that I give is someone who's a fourth degree black belt. If some kid comes up and pushes the fourth degree black belt trying to pick a fight, fourth degree black belt could kill the instigator in a thousand ways. But in fact, the person's so interiorly strong that the person doesn't have to do a thing. Even if the person's swinging, the person knows how to deflect. The person does not have to prove to anybody else his or her strength, because it's interior. That's meekness. Self-mastery is another way to look at meekness. That we know who we are, and so we don't have anything to prove to anyone, because we know who we are. Jesus wants us to learn that meekness from Him who knows who He is, so that we will know in relation to Him just who we are. Second is humility, which is tied to meekness. Sometimes we think humility means thinking lowly of ourselves and the whole rest of it. It's not. Humility means seeing ourselves as we really are, seeing ourselves as God sees us. That two things, humus, we come from the ground, we come from the dirt, the soil, that's what humus means in Latin. But out of the dust, God blows within us His own spirit. He brings us to life. And so though we're an earthen vessel, to use St. Paul's image, we hold within the one who makes all the treasures in the world. So to be humble is to be able to do what Mary did at the Magnificat. To cry out, "My soul magnifies the Lord, my spirit rejoices in the Lord who saved me," because He has looked on His handmaid in her lowliness, in her humility. "From this day all generations will call me blessed." Jesus wants us to learn that humility through the mirror of His eyes. These three verbs go together. And when we learn the Lord after having come to Him and yoked ourselves to Him, then He says He remakes us. This word that's translated as rest, "I will give you rest," or "you will find rest for yourselves." I don't really like the translation. You could translate it better as peace, but a lot of the times when we think rest, we think about sandals at a beach on a hammock with somebody else bringing us a cold drink. That's not what He's talking about. It's the rest that we have in Psalm 23. "Besides restful waters I will lead him, and I will," normally it's refresh a soul, but it means remake you. "I'll reset everything. I will refashion you. I who make all things new will make you new." And that's what He ultimately wants to give us. This ever newness of life with Him. If we're really going to take Christ's yoke on us in this way and become united to Him, the straightest way is Our Lady. Today on this feast of Our Lady of Mount Carmel, as we unite ourselves to the Carmelite family throughout the world, we remember what this devotion means. Mary was the one who was most yoked to her son, with an umbilical cord from the first moments of his life, and in her heart thereafter. She was one who truly learned him as she was teaching him as he was growing on up. Her meekness, her incredible strength that we see at Calvary standing there, her humility as the handmaid of the Lord, she learned from her son. She was constantly fresh to her Immaculate Conception, in which the Lord remade her fully in the most beautiful way. And when we have a devotion to Our Lady under the title of Mount Carmel, we enter into the Carmelite family. We take on a yoke, a scapular that binds us to Mary and binds us to the way she was yoked to her son. So the Carmelites will teach there's a threefold purpose to this. First, it's a sign of belonging, that we really want to belong to Mary and her relationship to her son. Second, that it's a sign of consecration, that we entrust ourselves wholly to her prayers, just like that couple in Cana. And third, it's an external sign of a desire to imitate Mary, to become more and more like her, especially in a relationship to her son. And the great locus for this remaking happens here at Mass. This is where Jesus tells us to come with all our labors and our burdens, all our work and our sufferings, and lay them on the altar together with his own. This is where Jesus teaches us who he is, so that we can learn not just about him, but learn him at the depth with which he desires, through what he says to us, as well as what he does within us. This is the place in which we're yoked to him spousally, so that we can go out and with love face any of the burdens that come. The last prayer a priest says before he comes out the sacristy to celebrate Mass, when he dons the chasuble, specifically recalls this gospel. Domine, qui dixisti, yugum meum suave est et onus meum leve. Lord, you who have said to us, my yoke is easy and my burden light. Facut istud portare sic valiam, quod consequar tuam gratiam. Give me your help so that I may so bear this, that I may obtain your grace. Every priest, before he comes out to celebrate Mass, explicitly recalls how he is supposed to be yoked in persona Christi to Christ, meek and humble of heart. But this is just an external sign of what's going on in the inside. And as we, all of us, come to Mass, this is what Christ seeks to fulfill from the inside, yoking himself to us. Today on this feast of Our Lady of Mount Carmel, let us ask her, who knew her son better than anyone, to help us to learn him in this profound way. Praise be Jesus Christ. Amen.